Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing keys to stabilizing underperforming multifamily assets during a pandemic. Joining me today in the studio is a great supplier partner to the multifamily industry and a business innovator, Peter Roisman, the president and CEO of PM Workforce, and Mary Imanogu, marketing manager for PM Workforce. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Peter, let's kind of start out, the topic is somewhat ominous, but we are in the middle of a pandemic. Let's kind of frame what we're going to be talking about today as it relates to the fact that we are in the middle of a crisis and a pandemic.
Sure. I think it affects the whole world. It's affecting the United States. We're not exempt, and in some ways we're actually in a worse shape than other parts of the world. But, we had some good news this week. The good news was two different companies announced that they had really great results on their vaccines, and I believe it was Pfizer and Moderna, and that within, perhaps as early as this year, 2020, we might see the first deliveries of the vaccine. Now, at the same time, as you and I were talking earlier, the situation is getting worse before it gets better. I think we have probably at least 6 months worth of struggle in business and in just our normal lives before we start to come out of this. I think the vaccines will probably, from what I'm reading anyway, I'm not an expert on it, but what I've read is that the vaccines should be first distributed by the end of the year and maybe widely distributed within the next 6 months. So we've got issues before we see the light at the end of this tunnel.
What do you think is the impact going forward on multifamily?
Well, over the next 6 months, there's some statistics out there government put out for the Bureau of Labor Statistics that said that women ages 35 to 54 are leaving the workforce in record numbers right now and have been leaving for the last several months. And it's due primarily to COVID. And in addition to that, the workforce is also seeing a permanent departure of male and female workers from the ages of 55 to 64. So the stress on all businesses, but multifamily is no different and not exempt from this, is going to be felt by the loss of these managerial type workers in that age group. And we're a leasing company, so we also have, we're there to help multifamily owners and managers, fill positions they can't fill because, and now they have more positions that they have to fill.
Right.
So it's added stress. Hopefully we're well positioned to help remove some of that stress and allow for business functionality to increase during a stressful time.
Mary, I'm interested because I know part of what you do with your position at PM Workforce is to call on different companies to get them interested in what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. What type of obstacles are you seeing right now from a supplier partner standpoint as far as with getting in contact with people and decision makers in the industry and so forth? Because I've talked to a lot of supplier partners who have said it's challenging. Mm-hmm. Because people are their minds are elsewhere. They're not thinking about things that they need to do. They're thinking about surviving today, and literally surviving, but also, figuratively surviving.
If you don't mind,
sure.
Paul, let me just jump on this one because it's interesting. I want to have Mary comment on some of
the marketing initiatives she's working on for our clients and on behalf of PM Workforce. But I'm actually personally, you know, involved in talking to new potential clients, and I can tell you, a lot of it is being generated by emails. And strangely, we didn't expect it to work this way. And Mary helps put the emails together with me, and we call them drip campaigns.
Sure.
It's a series of emails that with very clear messaging about what we offer, you know, the leasing services we offer, and I can tell you, we've been really effective on two levels. The first level is with owners. Our message as a company is really well received by owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the four cornerstones, we make more money, we save them money, we give them great control over the leasing position because they can hire and fire at will, and we add equity. That's a really strong conversation with owners. They get it immediately, and they are responding. We're having, you know, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 calls with new prospective clients every single week.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of traction. And so I hear what you're saying, and I think as a rule, it's probably true. Here's why I think we get traction maybe when some of the other suppliers aren't. Because when you come right down to it, if you're not paying attention to your revenues, you're out of business.
Right.
So, you know, it's really literally the follow the money kind of thing, right? It's, you know, if you're not generating revenues, if you're not renewing leases, if you're not generating new leases, in the fact that we can actually save money, that's like a welcome bonus to them. So we're actually getting more and more business. We're growing strongly through this crisis. Now, I'm not saying we want the crisis to happen in any shape or form here.
Right.
We want it to end, believe me, and go back to normal. I'd like to have a normal Thanksgiving like everybody else. But, you know, I think because we're focused on revenues that we're really getting attention of, and not only the owners, but we're actually getting the attention of regional managers, strangely. So about 3/4 of our messaging goes out to ownership, and another 1/4 goes out to regional managers at this point. And the reason is, if you think about a regional manager, they've got maybe 5 or 6 properties they're responsible for. And a constant in that, one of their biggest areas of stress is they always have vacant leasing positions.
Mm-hmm.
And for as long as they have those positions, they're not maximizing their own performance. They can't move up in the system. So if, you know, we lead with a message that says something like, how would you like to eliminate the filling the leasing position permanently? How would you like to permanently solve that problem, never have to hire another leasing person again? Let us be your long-term leasing solution. We're getting an incredible number of regional managers to contact us to talk about that.
Yeah.
And so it's actually pretty interesting and powerful.
Now, so I guess my question, since we're really talking about COVID and the pandemic and how it's affecting the industry, you believe that it's had that effect because COVID has exacerbated the issue with trying to find employees. You mentioned the Bureau of Statistics and their report, people leaving. And what hit me about that particular statistic about the women from 35 to 54 is that is a huge slice of the manager level, regional manager on up of multifamily industry, are women in that age group. So, and by the way, did you read further in those statistics to determine why people are leaving due to COVID?
Well, I don't know the answer to why they're leaving, but I presume it has something to do with they have to be at home.
Yeah.
Because they've got responsibilities at home that need to be dealt with. And they can't do whatever it is they can, what they're doing from home.
Taking care of children or grandchildren.
Taking care of children, an elderly parent that mm-hmm. might need some help. I mean, COVID has changed the game now. It really has just changed everybody's life, and we're still dealing with it. We've got at least another 6 months of dealing with it, I think. And, you know, we'll come out of this. I mean, there's signs of hope now. The two companies and many more companies are working on vaccines. So I think this is just the beginning of the end of COVID, I think, as we know it.
Real quick, we've got about a little bit over a minute left in this segment. What type of input are you getting, and what are your thoughts on how the pandemic is affecting residents?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that even in some greater length, maybe to the next segment. But initially, my thoughts on that are, it's tenant issues right now are pretty large. I mean, you've got tenants who can't afford to stay, right? Some of those people are moving. Some younger ones are moving back home, or even probably people who aren't, you know, the millennials, still moving home, finding a way to cut costs. Then you've got, you know, how do you stay safe living in a multifamily situation? A multifamily implies there are a lot of people around.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a challenge. It's different than living in a single family home where you have your pod, right? You've got people coming in and out. And so there's a limitation on that. You can't really go out to eat. It's hard to go shop. You've got to have food deliveries come in. You've got all kinds of things coming in. So now all the package delivery becomes complicated. Now, you know, there's all of these issues. Then on top of it, people need a stress relief, right? And so most of the amenities are actually closed right now. Gyms and pools and everything else. And so, you know, it's just put so much stress, not just the financial stress, but just the day-to-day living stress on tenants, just like it's put on you and me and Mary and everybody else that we come into contact with. So it's real, and it's with us for a little while, and hopefully it'll be going away soon.
All right. We'll talk about that more in depth in our next segment. We're going to break it here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of keys to stabilizing underperforming multifamily assets during a pandemic. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a great supplier partner to the multifamily industry and a business innovator, Peter Roisman, the president and CEO of PM Workforce. And also joining us is Mary Imanogu, marketing manager for PM Workforce. I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. You know, Peter, we talked a lot in the first segment about the pandemic and how it's affecting the industry and people leaving the workforce and so forth. But also, our topic is about stabilizing underperforming multifamily assets. So I'm curious as to your definition of what an underperforming multifamily asset looks like.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I think there really isn't a hard number on which someone would call it underperforming. It's case by case basis, but in terms of how we look at it, if an asset is 85% occupied or under, we would call that a distressed asset, I guess. And so something performing at 90 may be underperforming, and it ought to be at 95% occupancy, and certainly we can help get that owner there. But a true distressed property, if you will, we look at as 85% occupied and true rent at probably, you know, if you figure the 10% non-payment, probably another high 70s, 77, 78% effective rent.
Yeah.
So what do we do when how do we look at that? Well, you know, this goes back to how we even choose clients to work with. So what we would do is we would say to a potential client, let us come in, let us do an assessment. Pick your worst property, pick two or three of your worst properties, and we'll come in and assess them. We'll evaluate, you know, your marketing, we'll evaluate the traffic you're seeing, we'll evaluate your closing rates, we'll evaluate everything you're doing, even the property itself. We'll, you know, the tour route, we'll evaluate it from A to Z. We'll put down, we'll create some suggestions for ourselves, and what we'll do is we'll meet, and we'll have a suggestion, some suggestions that would fit into a plan. We'll create a budget for you, and we'll then we'll basically have to agree on a plan. And once we agree on a plan, then we'll put a timeline together and we'll execute on the plan. So it's really, we've evolved as a company. We started out by kind of plugging holes for people where they had a problem, they'd hire us, we'd come in for a month or two, fix the problem, and they'd say, thank you very much, you did a great job. We'd say, okay, I guess we're going out the door now. And so now we're looking at it differently. I call it setting ourselves up for success, which really means we're looking for a long-term relationship. We're trying to build relationships with clients that will last decades. There's really no reason to end it. If it's working, if you know, Sam Snead said, I'm a golfer, so Sam Snead said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Right? So if we come in and fix a problem, you know, I've always worried that if we fixed your problem and then we're gone, you're going to have the same problem again. So, mm-hmm. you know, what we do now is we have one team of elite leasing people that might come in and do a lease up or do a distressed situation and just, you know, be our A team that comes in and gets the property stabilized. And then at that point, you may not need that level of intensity on leasing anymore, but you might need a great stabilized team that can get the renewals and do client services well and all of the things and still continue to get new leases, but maintain, right?
Yeah.
Because once you hit and achieve a level, it makes no sense to let it drop back down and then have to call us back in again. And we wouldn't probably go in again, quite frankly, because we're really only looking for that group, that handful of clients where we can service them across the country and really be their partner in leasing and just be their representative in leasing. And it's really seamless. At the end of the day, someone walking in an office wouldn't even know that we weren't, you know, the owner's, you know,
employees. Right.
I mean, it's like when I go, I know I'm talking a lot, but let me just give you one more anecdote. I'm a big flyer on United Airlines, mm-hmm. 1K, and I've flown 1,000,006 actual miles. And, you know, so I check in at the ticket counter. I talk to the people at the ticket counter, and I say, so how long have you been with United? And they said, well, actually, we're an outsource. We actually are contract people with United. I said, well, that's great, because I would have never even guessed it.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be, and that's what we strive to be with our clients. No one would even know. We're part of the team. We effectively work side by side with property management. We're leasing management, but they're property management, and it's seamless.
Let's talk a little bit about technology as it pertains to multifamily and obviously stabilizing distressed properties. I know you and I have spoken about this in the past, and I've spoken with other guests on the show about the fact that the pandemic has expedited the acceptance and adoption of different technologies that were out there prior to the pandemic, but people were just taking that long, hard look at it before they really wanted to change up their the way they operated. But they were forced to operate differently with the pandemic. So virtual leasing and so forth has come into play. What types of technology things do you see that have been utilized during the pandemic, but you believe are here to stay?
You know, you said it so well, Paul. The technology aspects that we're seeing utilized today were a want or on the wish list or, you know, consideration. They became a need, mm-hmm. right? The virtual leasing you refer to became completely necessary when no one could go out and no one could go tour a property, right? Mm-hmm. So you were going to get no new leases unless you figured out some way to do it. So virtual leasing, I think, to some degree is here to stay, but I don't think virtual leasing will replace actual human talent. I think it will be a tool in the toolbox, if you will. So I think that's true with a lot of things. I think for now, you know, a lot of the marketing has to be done virtually. And that's why, you know, I want Mary to talk a little bit about you know, the kinds of things she's working on for some of our clients, and why that's really critical now to drive traffic, because a lot of things you used to be able to do to drive traffic, you know, really aren't working yet or today, or because they'll work again maybe when we get back to normal, but they might not be the most efficient way to market. So I think we're learning some things right now, and I think we'll some of them will really stick, and some percentage of the technology will stick and become normal. And another part will probably, you know, fade away, and we'll go back to some of the traditional standard ways of doing things. So I don't know if this is probably...
Yeah, Mary, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you're saying.
Yeah, so earlier you asked what the challenges our suppliers faced, our clients faced. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and I was talking to Peter earlier, I was like, you know, the number one challenge they face is that they're not following where the intention is. So marketing always puts you in front of your desired target audience. So with us, what we do is we just focus on, we're gonna put you in front of your target, but we're also going to increase the amount of traffic to your property where you want them to go. You want them to go to your website to sign the lease, through an online portal to sign the lease because your leasing office is shut down. We can do that. So it's things like that. And not only, you know, again, Peter, we were talking earlier before and just discussing, you know, what marketing looks like today in a COVID world compared to pre-COVID. And honestly, it is all digital, and you do have to spend a little bit of money, but also, you know, going where they are. They're on their website, they're on social media, where people spend most of their time. So it's a little bit of a behavioral psychology that you have to conduct. You know, you can even conduct it on yourself. It's like, okay, what websites am I on? I have to get to that site in order to draw traffic to my site. And that's called affiliate networking marketing. Mm-hmm. So just utilizing things like that to draw traffic. That's the key. You want to draw traffic to that property.
You know, I was going to say that as far as technology goes, obviously from an operational standpoint, Zoom or video meetings has really taken off with people. I've been on several of them. Even the national organizations have, for obvious reasons, because of the pandemic, have gone to virtual conferences and expos. I've been to both of those, or I've participated in both of those. And there's some learning curves that are out there and so forth. Obviously, everybody wants to get back to in-person because I think that's a great way to be able to meet somebody and shake their hand and so forth. And it is a ways away. But you know, Peter, from the standpoint of your company and your program, you're having to introduce yourself to people who've never heard about you, and you don't have that opportunity necessarily to do it in person. And we've got about 45 seconds left in the segment, so just give us your thoughts on that, and we can come back to it later too.
Yeah, Paul, I think we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 Zoom calls a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm on a couple a day. You know, I think the video nature of it is important. Certainly for first meetings, if we can't be in person, at least there's some feel like you're in person. And so we do that. And we always, we can actually sign clients that way. And we have, but you know, even before it comes time to deciding if you want to do business with someone, and this goes back to just a thing that I always like to look them in the
eye. Sure.
And yeah. So I know we're coming to the end of the segment.
All right. We'll go ahead and break it here. We're going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry. emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of keys to stabilizing underperforming multifamily assets during a pandemic. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a great supplier partner to the multifamily industry and a business innovator, Peter Roisman, the president and CEO of PM Workforce. And also joining us is Mary Imanogu, marketing manager for PM Workforce. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Peter, before the break, we were talking about how video conferencing or Zoom meetings have kind of overtaken the industry during the pandemic as far as not being able to meet face-to-face. Let's talk a little bit more about that. I know you had some more thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think I have to give credit to Zoom and other technology like Zoom, where these meetings have actually allowed us to we use them for multiple reasons. We use them in recruiting. We use them in training. We use them in interviewing potential clients. And so the Zoom technology or similar technology is just been really powerful. And I do think of all the things that will stick to a greater degree, I think Zoom, that kind of, it's very expensive and time consuming to travel to someone, mm-hmm. right? And so if you're meeting with someone out of market, this is a much more efficient way to have a call. And then, and I think if you're in market with a potential client or potential recruit, then I think you'll see it go back to normal where you'll have the in-person. But this is here to stay to a large degree. I wouldn't say it's not replacing, the in-person meetings, but it's here to stay, and it will be, a large part of people's business procedures.
I know that it was available before the pandemic and other services were as well, but it's become one of those things we were talking about in the last segment that people knew it was there, but they really didn't jump into it. And now they were forced to jump into it. And most people love it because, especially upper management, I've talked to some folks in multifamily, they love it because they can have a call and talk. And if they've got offices around the country, they can get people and see their faces. And it's not the same. But, there a lot of the companies that are out there that do resident retention type services where they used to have different events on property have gone to these virtual events, virtual happy hours, virtual games, things like that. So it's really kind of filtered into a lot of different ways in multifamily, other than just the, making sales calls or leasing or management issues.
I've actually done a virtual happy hour with my daughter, I know it's here. I'd much rather be in person with my daughter, so I think that may be one of the things that fades away as soon as we can be back together. I certainly don't look forward to a virtual Thanksgiving.
No.
So, I think you're right. On a lot of the upper management levels, the people that have to cover the country or regions of the country and can't be out on the ground all the time, this is a very effective tool. Yeah. I like it. It'll become a part of our toolbox, no question, forever.
Yeah.
It's allowed us to grow our recruiting and training pretty well until the training moves on site.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before you had a story that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think, it's the story was told to me, or at least the story is an interaction I had with my college golf coach. And it goes to, being great at how many things you can be great at. And I think, you know, it's really the reason why we're different. It's because we're so focused just on leasing. It's mm-hmm. all we do. We're the leasing company. We're the leasing management company. No one else to this point has taken that path that we've taken. We've decided this is a path that's necessary. We want to do it. We want to be a service provider to the industry. We feel like what we provide is very valuable to the industry, and we can provide it on a cost basis that makes sense. And so the story goes like this. I was a freshman at college, and my college golf coach said, "Peter, I get the sense that you're trying to do too much." I said, "Okay, coach, what are you telling me?" He said, "The three S's." He said, you can be great at one, very good at two, or mediocre at all three. And the three S's were sports, studies, and social life. And he says, "I would suggest you try two, because if you try three, you're not going to do very well on the golf team, or you're going to fail out of school. So you better make some good choices here." Yeah. So that was one of several lessons that my coach Tracy Mayer gave me, and you know, I'll keep it with me forever.
Yeah. Did you knock it down to two like he suggested?
I did. It took me a little while to figure out which two.
Yeah.
But I did knock it down to two.
So, when somebody is having a property that they need to get some kind of help on, from the standpoint of it's not performing the way they're not hitting their goals, what kinds of things do you see them trying on their own?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there isn't really we have somewhat of a special sauce in what we're doing. It's more of the way we put things together than any one individual thing that we're doing is so different than what everybody else is doing. So I take from your question, you're asking, why hire us? Why are we different? Why can't they just do it on their own? And I think that's a great question, because they can do it on their own. The question is, why would they want to?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost them more. They're going to have to distract themselves from the 100 other things they have to do to be successful as property managers. And why would a property manager or property owner want to put countless dollars and hours and focus into recruiting and training? Because we're a recruiting and training company. That's what we do. And then we come out of the other end of it with great leasing people. And so we're a recruiting and training company to support our primary goal of leasing. And not only that, we're a marketing company to support our primary goal of leasing. So if you look at what we are, we're a leasing company. We're the leasing management company. But we have to do tremendous amounts of recruiting and training, meaning 600 resumes to create six great leasing individuals. Mm. I mean, that's something that any property owner or manager can't take the time to do. So why would they? I mean, Glassdoor, I always go back to this statistic. Well, to hire one person, it costs $4,200 and 24 days. And there's no guarantee they're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, after 30 days, you're making another change. So I wouldn't say that anyone is doing, I wouldn't say that people can't do it on their own. I would say they shouldn't want to do it on their own. And they should look to us, because we can do it better and less expensive and giving them more control. So if you can do all of those things, why wouldn't you outsource it? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do my own accounting, do you?
Right.
I mean, what's the point? That's why they have accountants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just give it to an accountant, give them all the information, and let them do the job for you. This is very much like that.
Yeah, and Mary, as far as what you're, when you're marketing to these properties, what's your level of person that you're going for? Peter mentioned that you're getting a lot of traction from owners and regional managers.
Same, because yeah. I don't know, Peter, did you mention our leasing assessments? But it's something that we both do as a team to look at a property and really zone in on what is going on. So what are they doing? What aren't they doing? And where can they perform better? and really just give them results by, you know, starting with the ground running. But you were asking, what are we seeing that the clients are doing on their own in terms of marketing? Mm-hmm. They're still doing the old school way of getting your attention with a leasing banner outside. You need that, but that's not the only thing that you should be doing. Solely depending on word of mouth. You need that, but that's not the only thing you should be doing. But they just stayed stuck mm-hmm. in what was working pre-COVID and didn't evolve with the times.
You know, I'm old school. When I was old school, I'm a dinosaur. So I can remember when people were marketing properties, you know, it would be in a little magazine you picked up for free at the grocery store.
Yeah. And they still do that, by the way.
But I mean, there was no such thing as internet. There was no such thing as online reviews or things like that. So the world has actually changed. We're going to go ahead and break it here before we get into this topic, because we've got our fourth and final segment of this episode coming up right after these messages. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of keys to stabilizing underperforming multifamily assets during a pandemic. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a great supplier partner to the multifamily industry and a business innovator, Peter Roisman, the president and CEO of PM Workforce. And also joining us is Mary Imanogu, marketing manager with PM Workforce. Mary, I want to ask you, because you had mentioned something during the break about you had a kind of an idea or key that you wanted to pass on to folks about their marketing.
Buckle up. I'm only going to give one. All right. So with properties, what they neglect the most is what their current residents are saying. And they're saying it online on a platform they can control, which is their Google My Business, which is their online reputation management. So if you manage that and you're constantly, they've opened up the platform to where you can now post. You can put your resident events, resident culture, that kind of thing on the Google My Business, which is what shows up when you Google the property on the right-hand side. If you manage that, if you're constantly engaging with those negative reviews, yes, negative and positive reviews, that helps people that are looking for your property that aren't prospective yet. They're just on the search phase. That helps to convert them to a potential lead or as a potential resident.
Okay.
There you go.
That's great.
All right.
Good tip.
I can tell you that the reputation of any property or any company online, you need to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just one reviewer. Like if it's a new topic or new property, might be one person got a chance to say that was a one star.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, 95% or 98% of the people at the property love it, and it might be a five star, 4.5, 5 star. So just paying attention to it makes a difference. At one point, you know, I think every company, we look at it for, mm-hmm. for a review of ourselves. I don't know whether your show gets reviewed, but I'd look at it for that too. Just everything sure. gets reviewed.
Peter, I want to ask you a question. I'm sure there is a listener out there who is saying to themselves, you know, we've done this I've been in the industry for 30 years. We've done this the same way for 30 years. We're in the middle of a pandemic, but why should we shake up what's happening in the leasing realm of multifamily when it's worked sufficiently for so long? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you, Paul, that we noticed that our company as a service provider became much more of a need than a consideration or a want as soon as COVID hit in mid-March. People didn't know how to deal with it. People realized that the revenue source is more important than maybe they were putting emphasis on. And so all I can tell you is in times of distress, and I'd say we're much more of a distress service and product than we are a good times, because mm-hmm. when everybody's 98% or 96% leased, they think they're doing fine, and they yeah. probably are doing fine. Not that they can't go a couple points higher, but the need isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
When they're at 85%, the need is there. And people have lost properties because they haven't met debt service on the property because they're not collecting rents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll tell you one story where, you know, it's interesting. We were talking to one of the leaders in the industry, one of the largest owner operators in the industry, and he was telling, this was the president of the company we were talking, and he was talking a lot about corporate culture. And I knew for a fact the reason why we were talking to him was because he sold off a property that was way underperforming. And we're servicing that property today. So he sold the property off. It probably was at about 80% when he sold it. And we've gotten it up to 93 or 4%. But the only difference on the property is us.
Yeah.
Right? So he couldn't do it. I think they have between 60 and 80,000 units that they own and manage. And so this is an expert in the industry, someone who's considered one of the leaders in the industry, lost this property, but chose to sell it off so that they could say that their numbers stayed high during the pandemic. So they mm-hmm. didn't have to deal with this underperforming asset. They sold it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took that asset with the new owner and we made it a performing asset. So that's a perfect example. That's the example I would point to if you had to say, well, one of the leaders in the industry either didn't want to or didn't figure out how to make it work despite their corporate culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it and think there's always a better mousetrap. There's always a better way to do things. And so I'm not saying that there couldn't be someone that could do it better than we do it. But right now, we do it better than anybody else because it's our sole focus. Mm-hmm. It's all we do. We want to generate revenues. We want to get the best people to close those deals, and we'll train them, we'll keep training them. We have continuing education programs, and we have these elite teams out there that are perfectly positioned to handle distressed properties and lease-up properties. We have like, you know, dozens of people that are at that level with us right now, and we started only 18 months ago, but we're coming on strong, and we're doing really well. And, you know, I look at it, and yet the industry still has not come around to realize the importance of leasing and the importance of focusing on revenues.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another example. We're talking to another potential client right now, medium-sized, you know, company. They own their properties, and they have a smaller property in the 200 size, and they're trying to determine how to staff it. And we made suggestions, and they're struggling with, you know, keeping occupancy, obviously. And they're thinking they want a property manager and maybe a leasing person, and they're talking to us about that. They're talking to multiple properties with us, but on this one property, they're struggling with putting a dedicated leasing person on it versus someone that could do multitasks. And so I look at that and I think, you just don't realize the importance of leasing.
Mm-hmm.
If you solve your leasing problem, you will solve so many of your other problems. You'll have more time to deal with all of the other things, but you'll also have money to pay for all of those other things. So mm-hmm. I just think the industry needs to take a different look at leasing, and that's what we keep talking about every day, and we always will, because it's the answer to a problem, and there is a leasing problem out there right now.
Yeah, and I guess a listener may also want to say, okay, you know, I hear what we're talking, you hear what the discussion is here today. What's different about what PM Workforce does versus a traditional staffing company?
Yeah, that's, well, a traditional staffing company is more like a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look for someone with experience in leasing. I mean, the obvious question, if you have a leasing opening and you're an owner or a manager, up to now, the answer would be, let's find someone that has leasing experience.
Right.
We look at it the other way. Let's find someone who doesn't have leasing experience, who has tremendous skills, personal skills, and make them the best leasing person we can have. Because the person that has leasing experience already, 19 times out of 20, is someone who was passed over for promotion and probably is marginal and in that position just because they don't have anything else they can do within a property management system. So we find the most talent, we train them the most, we make sure they're professional leasing people before we put them on site for one of our clients, and they're ready to go, and they're there to build a career as a leasing professional, as opposed to someone that was trying to get promoted or maybe isn't promotable. And so better process, better training, better focus on talent, and better performance will really, you know, help out a client. And we do it all at a reduced cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cost of carry, Paul, is significant. I mean, it's, if you look at it, you've got all the payroll taxes, you've got, you know, full bonuses and commissions, you've got health care, you know, all of these things add up. And by the time you put our program in, you're saving, you know, maybe as much as $20,000 a year per leasing person. So, I mean, if you did it just for a cost savings, it makes sense. And if we were just on par in terms of leases, which we're not, we're way above that, you still win.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have one other story I wanted to share. And so I don't know if this is a good time for that, but you know, we were dealing with another very large industry leader that's just a third-party manager. And, you know, we were brought in because they had a couple of properties, and they're a giant player, maybe 60,000 properties units under management. And we came in, and they had two properties that were in the low 80s, and we came in and fixed them both. One took about 3 months, and the other one took 4 months. These were longer-term assignments. And once they got into the mid-90s in terms of occupancy, they said, thank you very much. You did a great job. We won't be needing you anymore. And I thought to myself, yes, you will. This isn't going away.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed your problem, but you still have the same people doing the same tasks, and you're going to end up in the same position. Nothing else has really changed. So it occurred to me that we should look at ourselves as more of a long-term leasing solution. And since that time, we are. But I also had another discussion with that company and said, why wouldn't you use us as a tool in your toolbox and make all your owners happy? And I have this actually in writing from them. And they said to me in writing, we would weaken our own reputation as a third-party manager if we had to go outside of ourselves to bring in leasing talent, and it would be used against us. And I thought to myself, you know, that's one of the things wrong with the business right now, and mm-hmm. that's why we're in business today. Because this company, and they're a pretty successful company, they put their own interests ahead of their owners' interests. They didn't want to bring the best leasing talent to do the best for their owner. They were more worried about their reputation and keeping their fees coming in. So I thought, we're an owner product. Mm-hmm. This is really about the owners. Why do the owners give the power away when they don't need to? And, you know, I'm not saying we can't work side by side really well with third-party managers. We always do, because we're not a management company other than leasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do work really well with them, but they got to get over this insecurity. I mean, it's really amazing to me. It's we can overcome this. We can work side by side. We're not in this to replace them. We're in this to make them look great.
Right. We've got about a minute and 15 seconds left. I want to give you an opportunity to tell people quickly about what you do, as we've talked a lot about it, but kind of succinctly. And also, if they want to get in touch with you, either they're looking for a position or they want to talk to you about helping to stabilize a property, what should they do?
Well, you know, easiest way is to go to our website, pmworkforce.com, and you know, you could find out about being a client that way or becoming a leasing professional with us that way. But, you know, we're just, at this point, we're the only company in the country, probably in the world, that's a long-term leasing solution as an outsource. And we're the only people just focused on leasing. There are other agencies out there that are trying to make matches, and we're not doing that. These are our people. These are our employees. We hire them immediately as our leasing employees. Now, we'll put them out with our clients if we decide that it's good to work with you and you decide you want to work with us. That's the interesting thing, Paul. I only take a second and say, you know, we're not going to work with everybody. We're not going to be ubiquitous and be a Starbucks on every corner. Mm-hmm. We don't want to represent three properties that are right next to each other and competing with each other. We want to pick a client. We want to work to make that client's success, our success, and you know, we're going to do the best job we can for each individual client. Our goal is our client's goal. Okay, as long as we've agreed on a plan and we execute it, that's what we're trying to do. As opposed to the last story I just told, which was, you know, the reputation of a management company versus the owner's goals. I mean, we're never at odds with our owner's goals.
Sure. We're going to go over just a little bit in this segment because I want to make sure that our listeners know if they have an opening and they're working with you, how difficult and how quickly can they get somebody on their site?
Almost immediately. But the first thing we would want to do, and if it was an emergency, we would fill that right away and then we would do the plan. But our typical process is to actually get the information about the property from the client, learn about the property, go to the property, assess the property, come up with some suggestions and a plan, and then agree on a plan and then execute the plan. So that's our typical process. But if someone has an emergency, they can obviously call us and we'll help them out immediately within 24 hours.
Well, thank you very much, Peter and Mary. It's been very enlightening. I'm hoping, as we discussed, that our pandemic situation is going to go away, and as we talked about with the good news we have this week. But we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.